All right, we're going to talk today about how to stand your ground. We've had a lot of people under attack in our church, and I know in our community also. There's been a lot of people under attack physically as well as other ways at work and different things. So I only thought it was good. I'm probably about a couple weeks late on this. I probably should have done it a couple weeks ago, but I was off on another little deal. But anyway, we're going to talk about standing our ground because, you know, we're all in a spiritual battle. I mean, it happens whether we know it or not. We may not feel like we are all the time, but we live in the middle of a war zone. I don't want to make it sound too dramatic, but there is a fight going on between Satan and Jesus, you know, God. You know, and that battle is going on all the time. And, you know, Satan doesn't attack us full force all the time, but he waits, and then all of a sudden he just comes in from different direction. And really what he wants to do is once we're a Christian, he wants to stop you from being able to fulfill your destiny, the call that God has on your life. Everybody is called. Everybody has been chosen by God to do something. And what happens is when you step into your walk with Christ, that's when you really start to step into your destiny. And it's after that you start to explore different things and try to find out just where God has placed you, you know, in this body. And what happens is that the enemy then, once he's lost you to the kingdom of light, he wants to stop you from being effective. And we need to be aware of that. Now, the battle we're in is not for sport. You know, I believe it's a fight to the death with the devil. Now, we know that God has placed some limitations on Satan, you know, where he just can't kill everybody willy-nilly. But we know that, you know, sickness and disease comes from sin, and that's part of Satan's territory. So, yes, there is a battle going on. And it is serious sometimes. And that's why we need to be ready at all times. And God, in His Word, commands us to stand. And, you know, we can't stand alone. We must stand with God. And in doing that, we have to learn how to properly engage the enemy. Now, some people get all carried away, and there's a lot of weird stuff out there. And, you know, I think we need to stand even when we don't understand. You know, because some things we're not going to understand. And don't back down, don't run away, and make your stand. It's really what we need to get to. Now, warfare in the New Testament is only mentioned, I don't know if it's half a dozen times or better, but there's other pictures of it kind of going on. And a lot of people have gotten into some weirdness about it. I'm not going to lie to you about it. Some people believe that you have to, you know, maybe go up on a mountain to be able to fight the devil better or get in an airplane because, you know, he's the god of this world. The principalities and powers are in high places, so they figure the higher you get, the better you are. You know, but that's really not how it works. You know, but there's been a lot of craziness, and I'm not going to lie to you. And there's not a demon under every rock, you know, I'm saying like that. But on the other hand, I do know that we don't want to just throw all that away, you know, all the things about warfare and what you and I need to understand about it, how we need to stand our ground and don't back down from the devil. You know, a lot of people are scared of the devil. I mean, he is, you know, not as good looking as some people say. You know, I mean, you know, he's an angel of light sometimes, but he's ugly on the inside, you know, and he has a lot of things he wants to do to you and your family. And that should get you a little bit upset. You want to stand your ground and be able to fight for your family. And that's what we need to understand, just a little bit of bits and pieces about how that works. And we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Bible, and then I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. Okay? It's a little long, not bad, but I think we can get through it here. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Then the next verse would say, starts with "stand therefore," but I didn't go into that one. Now in the Message Bible, which is more like American slang, this is probably how I speak more than the other, it says, "And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and He wants you to be strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps. A life and death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you will be standing on your feet. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We thank you that we know that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with them principalities and powers. Lord, I thank you. You've given us authority, the authority of the believer in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ paid our price, and by the blood of Jesus, been washed clean. I thank you the accuser of the brethren is cast down. We thank you for that authority in Jesus' name. Right now I yield also to the gift you put in me, Lord. I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is how it really works sometimes, is the fact that we can be cruising through life, things will be going pretty good, not a care in the world, that all of a sudden, wham, 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 we get attacked from about three or four or five different directions. And see, that's an MO of the devil. We have to be aware of that. So sometimes it feels that we are going against overwhelming odds, okay? Now we know that's not true. I mean, we look at the book of Revelation, it talks about a third of the stars fell with the devil. You know, that usually the picture of the angels that went with him. And so that means there's two thirds that stayed with God. And, you know, in that book, in the Old Testament, it talked about, you know, how the young man who was with the prophet and how he asked God to open his eyes so he'd see. And there was, you know, more that were for them that were against them. So don't think you're overwhelmed, even if you were. We're going to look at some people that did something for God, and you can do the same thing. Amen? We just have to see that the one that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. See, it's not us, it's he that's in us. So when we feel outnumbered, you know, I don't know about you've heard the old saying, you to take one step forward and two steps back. Have you ever had that happen in life? You know, maybe you feel you're supposed to do something, you step out and you boom, boom, see Satan just tries to beat us back, and that's what he wants to do, because he does not want you to fulfill the call of God on your life. But you have to. You know, I don't want to be over dramatic, but God is depending on you. He would not have given you something to do if he didn't think it was important. You know, God is not willy-nilly just passing out things to do just to make you look busy. No, God has something special for you to be a part of, something that he wants you to fulfill that's going to make a difference, you know, in the kingdom of God. Now, what happens then when we get bombarded from all different sides, then the mind games start. You know what mind games are? Have you ever been involved? Maybe you're in a relationship with somebody or have been. They play with your mind a little bit. You know, and that's a tactic, you know, really of the devil. I mean, it's the way that he works. He tries to, you know, infiltrate our mind. He wants to get in there to mess with the way we think and the way that we look at things. And, you know, we just need to be aware of that. What the devil tries to do, he tries to make us focus on the problem instead of focusing on the prize. And that's what happens. You know, you remember Peter walking on the water. I mean, dude, you're walking on water. What do you care about the waves? You know, you're already defying all normal things of nature. But yet, the waves came up, and Peter took his eye off Jesus and looked at the waves. See, that's what happens to you and I. We go through life when we feel, you know, things are going good. We know what God wants us to be a part of. But then all of a sudden these problems and, you know, it just comes against us. And then it makes us want to pull back because we start to focus on all these problems we've got to deal with. We can't do what God's called us to do. I've shared this before. One thing that I pray for me and my wife, I pray that God increases our competence so we can increase our capacity. I encourage you to pray that for yourself. It doesn't matter all these other things. As long as we stay focused on what we're supposed to do, it's all good. We can hit the ball. But the batter that takes his eye off the ball, it's strike three, baby. You're out. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we need to stay focused on the things that are happening. And when we get that way, when he starts some mind games, then what happens is we start to feel hopeless and helpless, you know? And, you know, that's happening right now to people I know. They kind of feel hopeless and helpless because things ain't really went their way. Maybe things have come against them. But I just want to say in the name of Jesus, just knock that nonsense out of your head. Amen? You know, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have world-overcoming faith because what Satan tries to do, see, Satan tries to get us to forget who we are and the weapons that you and I have at our disposal. You know, God gave us the armor of God and all the things that are important with that armor and what that armor does. And the thing is, we're not used to maybe that sort of thing in our life going on, you know. And we need to learn just what each of those parts do and how the devil comes. Now, the word devil is the word diabolos, give or take, you know, in my translation of the Greek, you know, and it really means he's a false accuser. See, Jesus defeated him at the cross. His power, for the most part, have been stripped, but he hasn't been stripped of the power to bring accusation and lies. You know what I mean? Have you ever been lied to? Have you ever misunderstood a situation and you thought that maybe, you know, somebody was mad at you or they didn't like you or they didn't hold up their end of the deal, and then all of a sudden those lies start to bombard your mind, and then for a while then you start to believe them lies, and then all of a sudden, man, it's just a deal that, you know, you're in a bad spot right now. Got to be able to turn that situation around. Now, I Rick Renner, he's kind of a Greek theologian. He was a Baptist and came into the Pentecostal experience. And, you know, something he wrote in one of his books is really good. And I read it. And it talks about that word diabolos. And he broke it down. The word dia means to throw. And then the word balo is like a rock that is thrown repeatedly at something until penetration, it means. It means to continually throw something at something and hit it in the same spot until penetration's made. And see, just like water that runs over a rock, I mean, you wouldn't think it, but after time, it'll cut a groove, right? Well, see, that's what the devil tries to do with our mind. He's looking to make a penetration into our mind, so he keeps hitting you with an accusation in that same spot. It could be your self-image, could be anything. And he'll keep bombarding you with that and bombarding you with that and bombarding you with that. And for a while, it just doesn't, it may not penetrate. But after continual repetition in your mind, you start to believe that lie. And maybe fear sets in. You know everything. I mean, you know how it works. You know, those things that take you to the dark place. You know, that place that makes you isolate instead of, you know, associate. You know what I'm saying? See, that's what he wants to do. He wants to isolate us. He wants to keep us away. And so that's what the devil tries to do. And see, that's one of his tactics. And we're going to get into this a little bit more. But see, the goal is that Satan is trying to breach our mind. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make a breach in our mind. Now, remember, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. When you're born again, your spirit is made alive, made a new creation. So Satan has lost that part of you. But technically, your soul and your body is still in play in this planet because it hasn't been totally redeemed yet, okay? That's why we got to renew our mind. It says there in Romans 12:2, and then our body and all these things, God wants to sanctify it and set us apart, but technically our body is not totally going to be fixed until Jesus comes again and gives us a glorified body. But our spirit is out of bounds for him. He can't control you that way. He's lost you. But our mind is the area that he can do, because it's your mind. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. And that's the part he tries to get into, because that's the part where we interact with this world around us for the most part. You know what I mean? So we interact with people with our mind and all these things. And so those lies, he's going to try to get in there, and he's going to try to mess with us. He's going to try to get us to pull back and stay away. And, you know, he's pretty good at what he does. And see, if Satan can breach our mind, my mouth cannot keep up with my brain right now. If Satan can breach our mind, he can control your life. He will control your life. And he's going to keep you in a place where you're just going to be ineffective for God's kingdom. Especially if he hits you in your self-image. If you don't feel you're good enough, I mean, nobody else is going to think you are either. You know what I mean? You got to get that fixed, you know. You got to see who you are in Christ. That's what God's word's all about. Are you going to believe the devil, or are you going to believe what the Bible says? That's the key, you know. We make mistakes. I know that. We, you know, things happen. You know, but for the most part, we just have to understand who we are in Christ. You know, we're a new creature. I don't care what you've done before. God doesn't care if it's been under the blood. As a matter of fact, God chooses to forget it. Why don't you? Are you hearing me? If God forgets it, who are we to remember it? You know, that's the glory and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can put those things behind us there, and Satan is under our feet, and we never have to back down. We just stand our ground. And how important that is. Because Satan's goal is to neutralize us because we're a major threat against his kingdom. I don't know if you've looked in the mirror and actually considered yourself a threat, but you are. You're a threat to the devil. Because if you have Jesus inside of you, you have all the potential you need to be able to be a super conqueror, to be able to go forth in his name, to be able to maybe lead somebody to the Lord. You know, how awesome is that? Take somebody out of hell and put them in heaven. You know, to be able to preach the good news about Jesus Christ. All these things are inside of you once you're born again. And that's why Satan doesn't like you. Get over it. You know what I mean? Not everybody's going to like you, especially the devil. He don't like anybody. So we just need to put that behind us and know that we're not going to be able to do that. But to stand our ground, I mentioned earlier about a story about standing your ground. I'm going to read this little small passage. It's got some words in it that I'm going to mess up just full to let you know. But I don't think you could do any better, you know, so don't throw no stones. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8 to 12. Now, a little bit of background about this. David had an army. And inside that army is, you know, he had it laid out in military style. He had three that were really close to him. And they were kind of in charge of some other people, okay? We're going to look at the three... the first one has a name that just is out of this world. You know what I mean? I don't know how any parent would have named him this, but they did. It says, these are the names of the mighty men of whom David had: Josheb, Bathshebeth, a Tachmonite, that was the hard part, chief of the captains. He was also called Adino the Esnite, because he killed 800 men, or slain 800 at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Echohite, one of these three mighty men, which David, when they defied the Philistines, who were gathered there to battle, and the men of Israel had withdrawn, meaning everybody else had ran away. He arose and struck the Philistines until his hand was so weary he couldn't even hold the sword no more. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day. And the people returned afterwards to strip the slain. Now after him is the one I want to see. It says, now after him was Shammah, the son of Gi, a Harite. And the Philistines were gathered into a troop. But there was a plot of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. Again, everybody else ran away. They just skedaddled. But he took his stand. And that's what I want us to see. He took his stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and struck the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. So here we see these three men. You know, the first one, you know, killed 800. The second two, they made their stand out in the field. All their compadres had ran away. Have you ever felt like that, that everybody else is running away? You know, you have nobody on your side, and all of a sudden you're there, and you just got to make that choice. Stand your ground. We have to make that choice in life. Are we going to run? Or are we going to stand and fight? You know, I've counseled, I don't know, quite a few people over the years that have a tendency to run. They run from the situation thinking that it's going to be better in the next place. But guess what? It follows them to the next place. But getting them to understand that, it's hard sometimes. But all you got to do is stand your ground. You'll win. If you stand your ground. See, when we stand our ground, God can bring about a great victory. You know, so even though everybody else, it seems like, is retreating, we just have to do it. You know, what really touched me when I was throwing this together is I had a vision, and I was just standing there, and I took my sword, and I made a circle around myself, and that's where I'm making my stand. I'm not leaving that circle. Don't matter what the enemy brings against me, I'm not leaving that circle. This is where I have chosen to make my stand. We need to make a spot where we've had enough. Enough is enough of the devil's lies and his accusations and the things he's bringing against our families and ourselves, and we need to make that stand. And we'll win, I guarantee it. Because we have everything we need. The problem is we don't use it. We have weapons we haven't even opened up yet. You know what I mean? And we just need to see that we're more than an overcomer. And all God needs is one person willing to make a stand, and he can bring about a great victory. So to me, retreat is never an option. We can never retreat. You know, see how it works. You know, there's times in the Bible God will fight for us, but so sometimes the Lord fights for us, and sometimes he fights through us. We just need to be willing to fight. We just got to be ready to go. And to be able to beat back the devil, because he is not going to play fair. He's going to bring some things against us, and we need to understand, you know, just how those things work. So the next point I want to see, and we're going to start breaking down each of these scriptures in Ephesians a little bit, and I want to look at the idea of how we need to be strong. See, God wouldn't have said be strong if he wouldn't make it available for us to be strong. God will never ask you to do something that he does not think you have capability to do, okay? He's not like that. You know, I remember times in my life, I just had a vision of one today of me encouraging one of my kids to go down this hill on his little surfboard sled. And to this day, I still thought he could have made it, you know. But it was a crash, you know. See, if I was God, I would never have asked him to try that, you know. Because God won't make us try something we can't do. I, on the other hand, I was a little more optimistic. And like I say, I don't know. I still remember that day. He got mad a little bit, but it's okay. He got over it. And nothing was broken, so praise God. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, we're no match for the devil on our own. But that's okay. Because we don't have to face him alone. See, don't let the devil ever trick you into thinking you got to take him on one-on-one. See, that was Goliath's whole tactic. He kept taunting the people of Israel, thinking they had to send one guy out and face him. But see, God had another plan. God was going to do it through a shepherd boy. And that shepherd boy just put him in his place. So don't ever think you have to do it alone. We don't. And it says his might. You know, when it talks about his might in the Greek, that's saying physical, mental, or moral power as an endowment. See the word endowment? That means it's been endowed to you. God has given it to you. It's nothing you have to drum up, nothing you have to study for, nothing you have to beg and plead God for, oh God, give me this. No, he's given it to you. He's given it to you. Everything you need to do to be able to keep your mental stuff, you know, correct, your moral stuff correct, and your physical stuff correct. See, God's given that to us. And, you know, what I like about it is we fight the battles under the influence of his power. Amen? When the Holy Spirit wants to battle, he speaks through us, and he wants to be able to fight those battles, everything that God wants us to conquer and conquest in his name. The next verse in Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the full armor of God so you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Okay, we're going to look at a couple things here. You know, I think, God has given us heavenly armor in order to fight spiritual battles. Many people think, you know, the things going on around us, we get mad at the person. Now, I'm not saying the person ain't a jerk, because there are people out there, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes we just have to realize it's the person manipulating that person. You know, and that's the devil, those things about it. So instead of yelling at the person, maybe we bind up the devil and start doing some, you know, spiritual warfare there, might turn some of that situation around. And that's how we need to see it. Now, there's a Greek word here. And I'm not going to tell you what that word is. It's methodos, really, I think. But anyway, it's the word schemes here in this passage is talking about method or method of operation. You know, what a method of operation. You've watched some crime shows. And it means, that word means to work by a method. Method, the folly of pursuing an orderly and technical procedure in the handling of a subject, and it's usually connected with evil doing. Okay. Most of those serial killers and all those people who are criminals, for the most part, is that they have a certain way that they do it. Certain method of operation. And that's how the police catch them, because they start to whittle down and start to understand just how this criminal operates, the type of people that he preys on, you know, how he may do it. And see, it's the same way with the devil. The devil has a certain method of operation, and we need to be aware and kind of learn, you know, we just don't have to be oblivious down here, but we need to learn just exactly how he works. And so we can be aware of that. You know, how we can be able to understand, like, when we're getting under attack here and understanding the devil's MO. Now, like I said, we don't need to fear the devil, but we need to be aware of his methods. And as I mentioned earlier, number one, he attacks our mind. He does those mind games. So be aware of that. You know, if you all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, you start having these thoughts that are not good, you know, just kind of be aware that, hey, you know, maybe the devil is attacking me right now. You know, I need to be aware of that. So what do? You start guarding that mind a little bit. And then you maybe start, you know, you can't think about two things at the same time. So start thinking about a scripture. Start reciting that scripture over and over. Meditate it in your mind. You know, maybe you have a self-image issue, and, you know, maybe that's where he's getting that you're not good enough. But then you find a scripture that deals with that, and or maybe you think that you're too weak and you can't do anything for God. And you think about greater is he that's in you and he that's in the world, and, you know, all these things. So you just kind of pick some. It's just, Christianity 101. I mean, we start to learn these things, and then we start to beat him back. And believe me, after a while, the devil's going to go look for somebody easy. Don't let it be you, right? Like the old saying, if a bear is chasing you and somebody else, you don't have to outrun the bear. You just got to outrun the other person, right? Right? You know, so we just need to, then we need to go back and help our weaker brother or sister. I don't want to leave them to the bear. You know, I wasn't going to just leave them hanging. But, you know, as far as you're concerned, first you got to fix you before you help somebody else. As simple as that. Just like when they say the air masks drop on the plane, if you're going down, you know, you put your mask on before you help your kids, or you won't have the air to help somebody else. So we need to make sure that we can fight and we can stand. So he attacks our mind. Next, he's a liar. We know he lies. So whatever he says, probably the opposite or close to the opposite is true. You know, that's just how he works. And he's a liar. The Bible says he's a deceiver. He's going to try to bring deception into your life and make you think or see things that you know, in a situation that aren't really there. Why? He wants to isolate you, like I said. Isolation. He wants to get you by yourself. He wants you to be that little baby gazelle that the lion always eats, because he never pays attention and he can't run fast. See, that's what he wants to do. Then he wants you to think that when he gets a hold of you, that there's no hope for you, that you can't get out of this situation. Well, that's a lie too. Let's say we did stumble and fall. All we do then, we got we ain't going to go into this today, but you got the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. I mean, you still have some stuff, you know, that you can fight with. And it says that we're going to be able to stand. You know, the Bible says you can do it. Now, I found out you can't fight the devil if we're laying on the ground licking our wounds. You got to stand up. You got to stand up. Like I said, it's not in your might. You know, I've done some stupid things in my day. You know, I've said some stupid stuff, you know, when I was a baby Christian. You know, I was watching, you know, in Bible school, watching some of my fellow classmates just were dropping like flies, man. Just, you'd hear a story almost every day, somebody dropping out because of this problem. And I got tired of it. I said, okay, devil, bring it to me. Don't pray that prayer. That God, you know, that wasn't a good prayer. You know, not the smartest. You know, it's better just to understand that that was a quick revelation for me that I can't beat the devil on my own. You know, I need God, and I learned that one quick. I've never went back down that one. I didn't have to, you know, find that out twice. But, you know, it is something that we need to understand, you know, that we have everything that you need. Don't think you're insufficient in the things that you need. Okay, the next verse is verse 12. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, this translation says our struggle is not. In the King James, it says we wrestle not. And see, that's probably some of the problem that many believers have, is that they wrestle not. They don't put up any resistance. You know, we got to be willing to fight. We got to be willing to wrestle and get in that situation. And believe me, you will win. It's I don't want to say it's super easy, but it's easy. Once you get it in your mind that you're fed up and you're sick and tired of the devil taking your stuff, you're going to go back and get it. Simple as that.
Thank you.
When you've had enough, but you got to get to that point sometime. Sometimes you just got to be tired of having to have those things happen to you. Then you start to really explore, because, you know, we have everything that we need. And we're going against an organized devil. I'm not going to say he's not organized. You know, this passage of Scripture, when it talks about the, you know, the rulers and powers and world forces in darkness, you know, it kind of has the talking of military terms where Satan's organized. See, Satan's been at this a long time.
Yeah.
We haven't. Our life cycle is really small compared to how long he's been messing with people. So he stays in that MO, though. See, he uses it because it works. It works for him. So if we're aware of that, I mean, we can learn quickly and understand, you know, how it is, you know, that we need to resist so that we can overcome this. And as we do that, we need to be organized. Like I said, physical weapons are useless against a spiritual enemy, so we need to understand it. We may go into the armor of God. I wasn't going to do it at this time, but there's other things I might get to, but we're going to see. Maybe I will break some of that down, you know, quickly to do that, so that we're prepared of the things that we have. You know, you don't want to go out there and be half-dressed, have half your armor, right? You know, this enemy's going to hit you where you don't have it covered. Now, that last point is the idea that, you know, we need to take warfare seriously, okay? What all that means. It says in Ephesians 6:13, it says, therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day and have done everything to stand firm. So basically, we need to remember that we're in the army of God. We're in God's army. You may not have enlisted, but it's an automatic thing when you get born again. And we have to do whatever the commander says. I mean, for the most part, I don't know, things are kind of changing in the military, it seems like, these days. But, you know, for the most part, whenever the commander says you got to do something, you just got to go do it. You don't go up and tell, if you're a private, you don't, and the captain comes up and says, pick up that piece of dirt. Dude, you don't have an option. Pick up that piece of dirt. You know? You gotta, and he says, you know, I've heard, you know, they caught people spitting on the ground. You'll say, pick up that spit and put it in your pocket. You know? Don't want you spitting on the ground. You do what they tell you. And see, but we have this attitude sometimes when it comes to Jesus and God that, you know, it's the you know, like the Great Commission is just a great suggestion, you know. Yeah, well, maybe God says we can do that, but we don't really have to. No, when God says something in the Word, we need to do it. And say, we're in the army, and we need to fight. We need to set people free. Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews that he's waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Well, how are they going to be made his footstool? The church. The church has to rise up and be able to fight and to be able to win. Now, sometimes we just need to suck it up, fall in line, and march. That's just the way it is. You know, we don't like to hear that, because usually when we hear that, we're already mad or have a bad attitude, right? Have you ever been that way? You know, and then somebody comes along, quit being a baby. You know, come on, let's get past this. So, also from the other angle, let's say you're under attack right now. Well, use every attack from the enemy to be able to grow your faith. Faith grows by resistance, just like your muscles do. When you push against something that's heavy, your muscles get stronger in time. Right? But if you let the weight just set on you, you're not growing. Your muscles aren't getting any better. But it's the same with our faith muscles. We have to resist the enemy. That means you pick a scripture, you stand on the Word, and you just cram it down his throat. You just tell him, thus says the Lord. This is what the word says. And you're a liar, devil. Everything you tell me is a lie. Jesus says this, you say this, guess what? Who do I believe? Jesus. Amen? So that's just the little thing that we need to do. And, you know, it's what we do at home that makes the difference. Amen? Taking some of this stuff and applying it. So God told us to make a stand. When he's told us that, he didn't say stand there and do nothing. You know, we need to stand on the word. We need to keep speaking it out. And like I said, you know, if you could, believe me, put on the full armor. And you need to look at the next few passages here, and that might be what we're going to do next week. But look at that armor. It'll tell you what it's for. Well, you got something that covers your head. Why? Because he attacks your mind. He says he's given you a sword. Why? Well, to defend, but also, that's an offensive weapon. He gave you a shield. What's that do? Believe me, if you use the shield, it's not even going to get to your mind. Amen? Amen? So he's given us the things. We just need to understand how to use them. So that's why I say, you know, have the full armor so we don't go into battle half-dressed. Amen? God wants you to stand. And so we're going to believe God right now that he's going to just give us that revelation that we need to be able to understand what it is that we have to do and be able to, you know, use these weapons and these things that God's given you so that you can not only help yourself, but help your family, help your loved ones, you know, everybody that's going through a battle right now. You know, maybe some of them are too weak to fight. That's what we do. I remember a vision God gave me one time that, you know, it showed somebody I knew that was going through a very devastating time in their life. And all of a sudden, God, I had a sword in my hand and the devil was coming down ready to put his sword right on him. And I just stuck my sword out. Ka-chish. It just stopped him in his tracks. That's what we need to do. We need to stop him in his tracks. He'll back down. We don't have to. Amen. Let's pray.